يا حي يا قيوم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. My noble audience, Alhamdulillah, last week we discussed the topic Al-Qalb, the heart. And today is a continuation of that, and inshallah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we'll try to conclude it. The verse that I recited is from Surah Shu'ara, Surah 26, verse 88, in which Allah Almighty says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That on the day of judgment, a person will not benefit from his wealth, and he will not benefit from his children. The only thing that he will benefit from is from a sound heart. When the Nabi of Allah was giving da'wah to the people of Makkah, the Nabi of Allah was preaching to people that were blessed with possessions, with commodities. For example, one of the chiefs of Makkah, his name was Walid bin Mughira, the father of Khalid bin Walid. And he had 13 children, 13 sons. And when he used to sit amongst his sons, he used to look like a brother, not like a father. So he was blessed with beauty, he was blessed with health, and then he was blessed with so many children. And on top of that, he was blessed with influence in the community. Only 3 of his children accepted Islam. 10 of his children with the father departed this dunya without iman. Walid bin Walid, Hasham bin Walid, and Khalid bin Walid accepted Islam. The remaining group of siblings, they departed without faith. So when the Nabi of Allah used to give da'wah to the community, many of the community members, they used to look at the reaction of Walid bin Mughira, the reaction of Abu Lahab, the reaction of Abu Jahl, so on and so forth. So Allah Almighty makes a statement in the glorious Quran that may assist us, because many a times we look at people that are of influence, but we do not look at their practices. And we may develop a belief in our mind that this is the criteria of success. So Allah Almighty says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That the heart has to be sound, the spiritual heart, and if the heart is sound, then that person will succeed. But this heart is amazing. It has great capacity and ability. It has capacity to improve, and at the same time it has the capacity to rot. It has the capacity to improve, to grow from strength to strength, but at the same time it has the capacity to rot. And Allah Almighty has made mention of that capacity in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse 74. Allah Almighty says, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِّن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. That if the heart is not taken over, a person is not mindful of what the heart needs, what nutritions it needs, then this heart becomes hard as a rock. And then Allah Almighty further says, even harder than a rock. that nothing penetrates, nothing makes it to the core of the heart. And when the heart is not moving, then a person is spiritually dead. When the heart is not moving, the person is spiritually dead. So that's why Allah Almighty, when speaking about different nations of the past in Surah A'raf, so Allah has spoken about as a Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, his nation. Allah has spoken about Qawmi Ad, Qawmi Thamud, Qawmi Lut. Allah has spoken about different nations in Surah A'raf. And in Surah A'raf, Surah number 7, verse 64, Allah Almighty concludes after speaking about the nation of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam with this fragment of the ayat, Innahum kanu qawman amin. So after speaking about Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and how Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam preached to his people and how they reacted, and as we all know that they reacted negatively, Allah concludes the section by saying, Innahum kanu qawman amin. That the entire nation was blind. So this blind was not the physical blindness, but this was the spiritual blindness. It was the spiritual blindness. That they did not take care of the heart, that the heart means sensitive, and slowly and gradually the heart lost the capacity to differentiate between right and wrong. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا عَمِينَ. And that's why it has been said in Surah Taha, that is one of the names of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Surah Taha is the surah after Surah Maryam. It is known as Surah number 20 of the glorious Quran. In verse 125, Allah Almighty says, قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرَتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. That on the Day of Judgment, people that were physically able, they were blessed with health, they were blessed with eyes, with a tongue, with a mind, with intellect. On the Day of Judgment, when they stand, they will stand blind, physically blind. So when they find themselves struck with blindness, قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. They will say, Ya Allah, why are we standing in this state of blindness? Yet when we were in dunya, we were able to see. And what does Allah say? قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا. You were forgetful about the message. You turned away from the ayat, from the signs, from the Quranic injunctions, from the message. So this is the repercussion. This is the result. So in this dunya, a person does become blind spiritually, but Allah does not take the physical eyes away. But on the Day of Judgment, the heart will dictate the terms. If the heart is blind, the person will be blind. And if the heart has vision, the eyes will have vision. So let's take this one step further. Only those people will place their eyes on the countenance of Allah Almighty who are allowed to see with their hearts in this dunya. If they are not seeing this dunya with the heart, they will be deprived of placing their eyes on the countenance of Allah. And as we all know that this is the greatest reward that a believer can receive on the Day of Judgment or in Jannah. Now normally when we speak about the heart and how the future is to unfold, many a times people will say, إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ in Surah Mutaffifin, Surah 83. إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ يَتُكَهَنِيَةَ تَلُوكِ. These are the stories of the past. And we don't derive benefit from these ayat and from these historical events. because we label them as stories, and that is good enough not to deduce and derive lessons. Do not treat these stories of the glorious Quran as asatirul awwaleen. But these are true events that people like yourself and myself experienced in the past. Those that did not work upon this heart. And the conclusive ayat, the striking ayat that I believe in regards to this heart is in Surah Hajj. Surah 22 verse 46. Allah says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا أَوْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. It's an amazing ayat. لَهُمْ قُلُوبْ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. That the hearts of these people do not understand. أَوْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. The ears of these people do not listen. Then Allah concludes by saying, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ. The eyes do not become blind. Allah says, the eyes do not become blind. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. The hearts in the chest become blind. And I made mention last week that if there is nothing in front of my eyes and I open my eyes, I can see everything. Small, big, I can recognize the different colors, the body shape, so on and so forth. But if there's a small twig, or let's say a particle of dust, that makes it into my eye socket, that will disturb my vision. If there's a particle of dust that makes it into my eye socket, it will disturb my vision. I will have to flush it out. What about the heart? When this heart is clean, it is allowed to see. Then it understands the hikmah, the wisdom, the beauty, the potency pertaining to the faith. But if there's a particle of dust that makes it into the heart, then things become blurry. Then a person becomes dubious and confused. That's why Allah Almighty says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 7, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. That Allah seals the heart. Allah seals the heart. So think about sealing the eyes, where a person cannot open his eyelids. Everything becomes dark and blurry for him. He can't see nothing now. But Allah does not only make mention of sealing of the heart. Allah says the eyes are sealed as well. The ears are sealed as well. Why? These are the paths that lead to the heart. If I need to safeguard myself from becoming impure, I have to pull away from the valleys of impurity. I have to protect myself from the valley of impurity. The eyes, the ears, the mind, the mouth, the smelling sense are all paths that lead to the heart. And if we gather particles of evil and vice, let's call them particles of dust, they will contaminate that heart. They will make the vision of the heart blurry. And this is what Allah makes mention in the glorious Quran. In Surah Hajj, Surah 22, verse 46. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارُ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. That the hearts have become blind, not the eyes. The eyes do not become blind. Allah is not unjust. Allah is kareem. Indeed, the ability to see this beautiful world should be snatched away when we look at things that are incorrect, that are not modest. But Allah is Kareem. He does not treat us as organizations. If we don't pay the bill, we get a warning. If we don't pay the bill the second time, they will cut the line. Allah does not cut the line that we are not allowed to see. But what Allah is saying is that we are destroying our own future with our own hands. And that is stupidity, to destroy ourselves, you know, destroying ourselves with our own hands. By allowing dirt of evil to make it into the heart. And then when this heart at the time of death is captured, it is in a state of impurity. And based upon this heart, we are going to be judged on the day of judgment. Isn't it wise and sensible that we protect and safeguard all the paths that are leading to this heart? Now indeed, if a person is to walk outside and he's wearing washed clothes or new clothes, and he's wearing a shoe that is polished, and he's very mindful when he's walking down the street, but when he does come back, he finds a few particles of dust on his shoe. And he finds that the condition of his clothes is poorer than when he wore it, because there is some dust outside, despite being mindful and very careful. So what does he do? He comes back and he polishes the shoe. And he shakes his clothes. And he places them on the hanger. And if they need to be ironed once again, he will tell his wife to iron it. Or if he needs them to be washed, he will tell his wife to wash it. So this faith that is inside, and the heart is the station of that faith. When we walk outside, when we live in this dunya, when we socialize, when we strike deals, we look, we listen. Even if we are very, very mindful, it does contaminate the heart. So we need to shake it, we need to polish it. We need to shake it, we need to polish it. Because if we don't shake it and polish it, it becomes dirtier. The stain becomes very, very hard. It is hard to remove now. That's why many a times when we were young, if we were eating and salan, gravy fell on our clothes, immediately the mother used to pick us up and take us to the tap and say, wash it now. Because if you allow the stain to settle, it will be hard to remove. So if we allow the particles of dust, evil, to settle, then it becomes hard to remove. So we can apply incidents that are very well known to us to the condition of the heart. It is not hard to understand where the heart is sitting and what is good for it and what is bad for it. It is not hard. It is very, very simple. The ideology pertaining to this heart is easy to understand. We can apply daily incidents, stories to this heart. That's why once Allah Almighty said to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, wash your heart. Hazrat Allah Almighty said to Hazrat Ibrahim to Khalilullah, wash your heart. He said, Ya Allah, how do I wash this heart? I can't wash it. Meaning that we can't put a pipe down the throat and wash the heart. That is impossible. So how do I wash this heart? So Allah Almighty says, by crying. Sit in front of me. Remember me. Focus upon my greatness, my might, the favors that I have bestowed, so on and so forth. And then what we are presenting as a gift, because we do present a gift every day. May it be a rotten gift or a good gift, but we do present a gift in the form of salah, in the form of evil, in the form of zakat, in the form of theft. So we present a gift. Think about it. A lot of people say it's hard for us to cry. We don't focus upon what we are doing. That's why one of the methods of making dua, according to the ulama, is that before we even commit to the dua, think about where we are right now. Think about the existence. Think about the human body. Think about how this human body is functioning. Think about the different bounties that Allah has bestowed upon us. And we, as people of Australia, are blessed. There are many, many bounties that we are enjoying, that many of the human race cannot even dream about in their wildest dream. But for us, it is a norm of life. It is a norm of life. When I travel back to Pakistan, my country, there are many, many people I find that they have not taken meat for 1 year. They wait for Eid al-Adha. They wait for Eid al-Adha to have meat. I met one person who was a student. He said, "I have never ever tasted fish in my life. Too expensive." Now for us, fish, gosht, laham, is a norm of life. So there are so many different bounties that Allah has bestowed upon us. And we are those fortunate people that are blessed with everything. And when we think about all this, that Allah is gracing us with all these bounties, and then we focus upon what we are doing with these bounties, and how we are thanking that benefactor, it is highly impossible that this person will not cry. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was told by Allah Almighty, crying is the method by which you can clean the heart. By removing those particles of dust, so the vision that was blurry becomes clear, vivid. Everything becomes clear. It is very, very important. That's why Allah Almighty, through the Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has related this beautiful narrative that we have made mentioned, and it echoes in the Muslim world. The hadith is in Muslim, recorded by Imam Muslim, on the strength, on the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira, radiyallahu ta'ala an, in which the Nabi of Allah says, "Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wa amwalikum." How many times we have heard this? "Walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum." Allah does, on the Day of Judgment, Allah does not look, will not judge a person that he has failed or he has succeeded based upon his appearance, based upon his wealth. If that was the criteria, Walid bin Mughira would have succeeded. But he didn't succeed. If it was based upon the appearance, Abu Lahab would have succeeded. Surah 111 of the glorious Quran, Surah Lahab, speaks about the uncle of Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Lahab, the father of flame, was the nickname of Abdul Uzza, who is one of the sons of Abdul Muttalib. And they used to call him the father of flame because he was ruddy in complexion, healthy red color, so tall that when a person used to place his eyes upon him, he used to be struck by awe. There was a ru'ab there. But he failed, because he didn't work upon the heart. On the other hand, Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala, he was not blessed with external beauty. But Allama ibn Hajar Asqalani in Fathul Bari, the Sharah of Sahih al-Bukhari, makes mention that the Nabi of Allah, when he was being given a grand tour of Jannah, he heard the footsteps of a person. So he says to the tour guide, to Hazrat Jibreel, the archangel, "Who is walking here?" He said, "These are the footsteps of Hazrat Bilal." Now Hazrat Bilal was in Medina.
He was in Medina. Now the next part of the story has been captured by Kanzul Ummal and Mu'jam al-Kabir. And Imam Tabarani has made mention of the next part. When the Nabi of Allah came back, he ushered Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, and he said to Hazrat Bilal that I heard your footsteps in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Externally, no beauty. External, no beauty. He said, I heard your footsteps in Jannah. So what do you do? There must be something that you have done that has allowed you to be in Jannah. So as Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an says that the only thing that I'm very, very mindful of is that I remain in the state of purity. And whenever I make wudu, I pray tahiyyatul wudu. But the legacy of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala that allowed him to attain this station was a very, very taxing road, a taxing journey. When Umayyah bin Khalf used to persecute Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, it used to bring tears in the eyes of the Nabi of Allah, in the eyes of the Sahaba. So Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an once was being beaten by Umayyah bin Khalf. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq gave the proposal to Umayyah bin Khalf and bought him from for 5 awqiyah. This was a measure in those days. But listen to what transpired at that time. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, he frees Hazrat Bilal. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, and he says to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, if you have freed me for the sake of Allah, then free me completely. If you have freed me for the sake of Allah, then free me completely, that you have no right upon me as well. So I can dedicate my body, my time, my energy to the service of Allah. But if you have freed me from Umayyah bin Khalf, but you want me to be a servant for you, then I will be a good servant. At that time, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq had tears in his eyes. And he said, I have freed you for the sake of Allah. Jao aur Allah ki ibadat karo. He said, go now and do the service of Allah. Commit yourself to the service of Allah. And my words, what service of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. Externally, no beauty. But he worked upon the heart. So what do we learn from this? It doesn't matter where we are in life. It doesn't matter what we possess. Every person has the ability, the opportunity to become the friend of Allah. If Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, a slave, no external beauty, no strength of his family, through the right effort, makes it to such a lofty station, why can't we? When Allah has given us more than what Allah gave to Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala in relation to material and possessions, it is the effort of that heart. That's why the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَقَالَ وَسَقَالَةُ الْقُلُوبِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. For everything, there is a cleaner. And the cleaner of the heart is the dhikr of Allah. I will conclude on the hadith that has been recorded by Imam Tirmizi on the authority of Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, in which the Nabi of Allah has said, أَفْضَلُ الذِّكَرُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَفْضَلُ الدُّعَاءِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Now we know that dhikr is the cleanser of the heart. So what is the best soap, detergent? Because we go to the shopping center and we say, which detergent is the best? That I use less and it cleans more. I use less and it cleans more. And it doesn't leave any stain, any grease. So the Nabi of Allah says, first of all, that for everything there's a cleaner. The cleaner of the heart is the remembrance of Allah. And then in the hadith of Tirmizi, on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah, they say the best dhikr, the best detergent, the best soap, the best cleaner is La ilaha illallah. And the best dua is Alhamdulillah. My noble brothers, my noble sisters, my noble audience, my noble family. First of all, to myself, then to all of you, let's be mindful of the channels that lead to this heart. I said I will conclude, but I'm going to just make mention of one thing, and I have to conclude then. I have to be somewhere after Jummah. In Surah Bani Israel, Surah number 17, verse 32. Surah 17, verse 32, Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Do not go close to fornication. Why? Because all the roads, all the channels that lead to zina, if we close them, we will not commit zina. But if we try out how shallow the waters are, and to see how strong we are, we allow these windows to open, and we go onto this path, there is a probability at the time of testing, we will collapse, we will slip, and we will commit the sin. So, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا gives us this subtle hint that all the channels that lead to the heart, allow those channels to be opened, that allow أعمال صالحة and the nur of أعمال صالحة to make it into the heart. And all those أعمال that are سيئة and the ظلالة of سيئة, block it. Do not allow it to make it into the heart. Because Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا, do not go close to zina. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا, it is a great sin. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, it is a bad path. Path. Talking, looking, exchanging numbers, having coffee together, anything. These are all paths that may lead to that act. And we don't only apply it to zina, we can apply it to all facets of life, all actions of life. Allah Rabbul Izzah grant you and me the ability to sustain the health of the heart, and Allah allow us to depart with a qalb salim. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.